He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, Clay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man.
All right. So tell me about the first time you ever saw somebody bend some steel.
For me, well, when I got into the gym, to back up a little bit, my first day deadlifting, I dropped the bar because I didn't have enough grip strength to hold on to it. I didn't know about mixed grip yet. So I started researching ways to get my grip stronger and went down the rabbit hole of learning about all these like old-time strongmen like the Mighty Adam and Slim Farman. Yeah. And then kind of finding pictures of them like, oh, bending horseshoes, this looks pretty cool. And these big railroad spikes, I wonder if I can do that. So then kind of getting into, I think we all, most of us bought the Iron Mind bag of nails as our first kind of foray into it, just to get some standardization of where you might be. I remember working really hard to get that blue nail, which is, I guess, around the same strength as a 60 penny nail. And then doing more and more. And I found that unlike lifting where I needed like days off in between, I could bend or do grip stuff every day and increase the volume almost every time and just get better and stronger with it. So it was instantly gratifying to bend 30 nails today and 40 tomorrow and 50 the next day and not really have like maybe some sore wrists and elbows once in a while, but to make that kind of progress in anything else was out of this world. There's no way you could do it.
Yep. I agree. I'm definitely like feeling some of that myself. With the, I'm currently competing in the David Horn's steel shredder.
Yeah.
Did you see that he has a division just for grapplers this season?
I didn't, but the carryover, the crossover is huge. You were mentioning being a brown belt and using grip training for your sport. I've trained tons of jiu-jitsu players who have over the years used the Rolling Thunder and even some nail bending and sledgehammer limbering to get a leg up on the competition. Y'all need to have your own division because I think that crossover is so big.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to start doing this because especially since David did his interview on Daniel Strauss's podcast, there's definitely been a good and quarantine hitting at that time. There's definitely been a good chunk of grapplers that have just pivoted like myself into the grip world and the bending world. So I definitely foresee some growth. And that's another reason that I find this community to be so cool is that it really reminds me of jiu-jitsu in the early 2000s. It's still pretty underground. It's full of like interesting characters. It hasn't hit the masses yet. You know, like there's no movie stars bending nails that I'm aware of, you know?
No.
So I like the idea of like getting in here and starting a podcast on the ground floor. That's kind of like obviously completely niche, but I see some growth potential in it for sure.
Absolutely. And what else are you going to do besides sit in your garage and sweat and bend things? Like,
yeah,
it really is a great therapy outlet to,
yeah,
like, I hate this nail so much. And then it's done. And then you just feel good. You're like, this nail is bothering me being straight. And now it's not.
So this year's steel shredder is a 6-inch nail while lying down and then a 10 mil by like 20 inch bar standing. So, and both snapped. Within 25 minutes. So have you done any steel snapping or are you just mostly bending?
I've done some steel snapping, not to the limit that David and guys like that are doing. I've broken a bunch of 60 penny nails. I had a pretty good movement on a red nail to get that broken. But that, I think I just like ran out of gas, you know,
you're
sweating and the wraps get slippery and, there was a bunch of these grade F9 bolts that are kind of rare to find, a little tougher than grade 8s. They're hard on the kink and they're extremely, extremely like flexible. And when you get them to about, I don't know, 120 degrees or so, you push any more than that and they snap. And which is kind of cool. It's just like a one and done kind of thing. But the back and forth bending, you know, I've done a little bit of that. That combines like just so much stamina and conditioning with hand strength. I think then, if you're going to, in lieu of like wrestling a person, wrestling a bar has to be the next best option.
I really feel that way. Like, especially if you do it lying down, it's like, reminds me so much of grappling as a jiu-jitsu player. Like even the, using the braced crush, using your legs, similar to guard work. And, you know, it's, I love it. Like, it's like, I think it just takes a kind of crazy type of person to want to do it. But
nobody in this, it is underground for a reason. Nobody normal is doing this sports. They're playing football or some other stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what weirds me out too about just like the reason it's, I like to hear about when people saw it, that you wanted to do it, you know, like, I always thought that was kind of weird about like traditional sports where a guy could be like a super high level fan of baseball, but have no desire to play it himself. I just find that to be so perplexing. Like, as soon as I saw MMA, I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. And then I was like, well, getting punched kind of sucks. So I think I'll just like, I'll just do the grappling part of it. But you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I remember being like 15 and watching World's Strongest Man with my dad and him going, oh, you're a big guy. You should be doing this. Like you know, and when I was 15, I was like 300 pounds at like 6'4" and not athletic, just like a big piece of child.
A big boy, a chonk,
you know, and like, oh, I can use what I was given, what I've earned through malnutrition, eating improperly, I can use that for good in a sport and I can be an athlete. And it was like a roundabout way of like actually dealing with my health. But then you have to like get healthy and strong to do it for a long time.
Yep. So what you mentioned before, kind of like the first time you saw bending, but around what age was that when you started getting into the deadlifting and you realized your grip was like a little weak?
I think I got into the gym for the first time when I was 24. I'll be 23. I mean, I'll be 40 this year. So it's been about 17 years of training. I didn't have much interest in weights in high school. I wasn't good at sports or anything. Just not my jam. I can't tell you like the places that I've been able to go and the people I've been able to meet just from being able to like bend things and pick things up. It's incredible. Yeah. I'm sure that exists in any sport, but for me, who's never really been an athlete in other sports, to be like kind of good at something on a large level, it's been really cool to like go to Russia and Siberia and Norway and talk to people like David Horn, who are hugely inspirational. And to make his wall of fame and his little grip shed is a profound honor.
No, I love that. And I guess that's kind of like a testament to it still being somewhat underground. But like, and I'll, you know, throughout this show and future episodes, people will probably get bored of me bringing it back to jiu-jitsu. But that it reminds me of that, where you can easily, you know, meet your heroes within the sport and likely train with them, you know. So like it's unique in that way. And, you know, not too many people are like having a catch with Tom Brady. Like it's just cool that you have that ability. Like I reached out to David on Facebook. He got right back to me, you know, like it's just, and that was kind of a reason I wanted to start this as well. Every single person I reached out to as a beginner got right back to me, was like an open book with stuff to try. And I was just like, this is very cool, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that kind of camaraderie about it. It does have its niches and cliques and stuff like that, but it's like three guys who don't like each other on the internet. Everybody else is pretty cool.
And it's certainly still competitive, but like that just drives it forward more, you know? I like that. I like that guys are beating each other's goals and stuff like that.
Yeah, I love the idea of being able to have access to people who are at the highest level of the sport. But I hate getting beat by them so badly. It like, cause I look at the rankings last year for Armlifting USA and, you know, I came in behind Martins Lisis, who won World's Strongest Man, and Carl Myerskoff, who was a 2-time Olympic shot putter. And I'm like, okay, these guys, like they're better than me in a sport that I really care about. I'm like so close. I feel like I'll always be the bridesmaid to these like real athletes who are just ass everywhere. But then I have to think like, if I'm losing to an Olympian and the World's Strongest Man and the world record holder in this thing, it isn't the worst thing in the world. I'm not dead last. But the problem with like, this is going to sound a little cocky, I hope it doesn't. The problem with being one of the best is you're not the best. And like that bothers me. You probably know too, being competitive. It's like, there's guys that shouldn't be beating me who are, how can I work any harder or any smarter? And so for me, the underground element is like, yes, share information, but also really, really push to continue your own education on just how your body's supposed to work optimally. I've been really big into learning how the nervous system plays a role in strength and recovery. And since taking an approach in that angle, I've been able to just accelerate my training so much. I think that's going to get me to get closer to those guys who I idolize and to kick my butt so often.
That's actually a good time to bring to the next question. So the way you're tracking your recovery and stuff, does that relate to your day job or no? Like with the
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Totally. Yeah, thanks. I work for a company called NuFit that sells a direct current stimulation device. You think of like an AC powered TENS unit that kind of gives you a little bit of recovery and your muscles kind of move around a little bit. The direct current stimulation is different because it's harmonious with your nervous system. And it's less like having like, not to be like too simplistic, it's like having a bigger, stronger brain sending signal to your muscles to make them contract harder. And then giving good feedback patterns on technique during that process. So for me to be able to use the same machine for aches and pains that I can for muscle growth is fantastic. And it's normally a clinical machine that like physical therapists pay $18,000 for, and I can just go to work and use it whenever like my elbows hurt, or you know, I want to have like a killer leg day. I'll just put the electrodes on my quads and do real lightweight movements that are low impact on my joints, but high impact on the muscles.
Wow.
So it's at this point, almost 20 years in, it's more of like a feeling of like, I could use some time on the newbie today instead of training hard, or like, I want to use the newbie and train hard, or just, you know, go without it. But it's been a tremendous tool for me to be able to, you know, and I sleep better because of it. It gets me into that parasympathetic rest and digest state a little bit easier without having to come down so hard after training. It kicks that process into high gear real quick. It's not to like make it an infomercial about this device, but in my own personal training, it's been fantastic. And it's been able to unscrew 20 years of lifting, probably with bad form for a lot of those years.
And yeah.
I feel like I'm coming into the renaissance of like getting stronger as I get 40.
So is that available to the public or is that only?
Yeah, there are some personal users who have it. There's bodybuilders that train with it. Like I said, PTs and chiropractors purchase it mostly because they can make money on it.
Sure. Yeah.
Or personal users who just want to use it in their own home gym. I think you have to have like a medical director or a doctor's authorization saying that electrical stimulation is going to be okay for you. But then doctors will do that pretty easily.
And my mom and stepdad are both occupational therapists. So I got to ask them if they have any familiarity with that.
Oh yeah. It's called the Newbie by NuFit.
Yeah. I'll check with them. So is that the only way you're tracking your recovery these days, or are you doing anything else?
I just bought the BioStrap, which manages heart rate variability and sleep tracking. I've used the Oura Ring in the past for sleep tracking, and I found the metrics to be great for tracking sleep, but not great for tracking a lot of other things. I think the BioStrap gives a little more detailed feedback on your heart rate variability, or kind of like your readiness score to take on the day ahead of you. If you wake up and it's low, you're like, oh, I probably don't have it to push. I may want to push in the workout, but I don't have it. And so if I do push, I have a higher chance of injury. Why don't I just throttle back a little bit? And so for me, being able to quantify as many things as possible that are happening in my body as often as possible gives me like a really true reading of what I could do on any given day. It's the worst, man, when you wake up and you feel good and you go to the gym and you get smashed. You're like, oh, this was awful. I was feeling so good. Or, you know, you don't feel too great and you walk into the gym and you have an amazing workout and your mood is so much better. And you're like, why did I ever think I was going to be bad at this?
Yeah.
But it takes the guesswork out by having these metrics. You know, between the BioStrap and the Oura Ring, I get blood work done every 6 weeks just to get like an inside view. I think the markers in our blood panels are probably the best, most accurate snapshot of just kind of general health.
Oh, wow.
And I love, you know, I have a book called Quantitative Medicine that I've been reading. It's all dog-eared now about what each of these blood markers mean. And used to work with a trainer back in Santa Cruz, California, who would look at his clients' blood panels and then prescribe workouts based on what they needed. So if you wanted a little more growth hormone, you would start your workouts with 3 hard 20-second sprints on the rower. If you wanted a little more testosterone, natural production, you would do like heavier compound lifts followed by some like, and his people, I mean, he was a longevity professional, but he would use barbell training in the rower and certainly a lot of grip training and helping to get people to live like longer, healthier lives. And every 6 weeks back in their panels. And so I've been doing that, since I came to Austin. So 2 years plus about a year back in California. And
damn.
It's always like,
I haven't heard that before. That's really, really interesting. Yeah,
it's like, if you could find a way to quantify the things in your body that,
yeah,
feelings, the things you don't feel or see. I didn't know I had high triglycerides until I saw that. And I made some lifestyle changes and it went down, but then I slept better and I recovered faster. And I'm like, oh, I had no idea I could be a little more optimal.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. I weigh 335 pounds. I'm not like a model out here.
Yeah.
But I have a blood pressure of like, well, it was 117 over 71 last Saturday.
Right on.
Check in.
Yeah.
And that's like not bad for a guy who's almost 40 and 300 pounds.
Yeah. 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 More scientific approach to training is certainly the future. I mean, friends of mine are using the Whoop band.
Yeah.
Is that a similar type thing is what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been kind of interested to try that because personally it's the, especially during quarantine, like rest days are torturous. Like, and I know I'm just like burning myself out bad, you know, it's just like, it's hard to just get that, that release, you know, each day from a good workout and stuff. So it's like rest is the enemy. And I know that's foolish, but it's just hard to, and maybe if I saw some analytics, I'd chill more, you know.
You look young enough. I bet you could do 2 a days for a while and feel okay. As long as you're prioritizing sleep and not drinking a six pack before bed, you're going to be all right.
Yeah. I'm going to be 35 in October, but yeah, so I'm in the middle, I guess. But no, I still feel strong. And when I was doing jiu-jitsu, I was doing a lot of 2 a days and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
As far as like getting into grip goes, like you're at a great age for it because you're only going to get stronger throughout your life with it. I look at guys like Ode Haugen, who's 70 now and still picking up the bell 50 times. He may be an outlier, but there are tons of stories of older strongmen still bending nails well into their 60s and beyond. A lot of it is like a neural adaptation of getting that, since there are more like nerve endings in your hands than anywhere else in your body, you have the strongest mind muscle connection. There's a propensity to be able to get that strength stronger faster than anywhere else in the body. And their hands have such a high use capacity. I think of like a blacksmith or a carpenter or anybody who's using their hands a bunch every day. They're tremendous. You can beat the hell out of them every day and they come back fine and stronger tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. That's actually something I wanted to hit on, is basically something I feel about bending, basically grip in general, but specifically the bending and the snapping, is like, I feel like I'm creating that farm strength, you know, like the type of strength that's like just doing conventional lifts, I feel like get you only so far. Like, and if you want to be a wiry, like strong, where you grab somebody's hand and they know it, like that's what I feel like I'm creating when I'm out here bending, you know, like
you want to make them feel like they're wrestling their stepdad, you know, like they're going to get the best.
Yeah. Like old man strength, farm strength, functional strength, whatever you want to call it. I feel like this is definitely a surefire way that creates it, you know, grip and bending. I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I mean, a handshake says a lot about a person. And when you shake a man's hand who's in his 50s or 60s and it feels like warm granite, like this is a guy who's worked with his hands for a living and he feels strong, even if he can't do a bodyweight squat anymore.
Yeah.
I think there's that perception of like, this is a person who should be respected because he's worked very hard for his strength. I think barbell lifts get you better at barbell lifts. Strongman's pretty good for that kind of farm strength, but the weights are generally so high that unless you have really good bone structure and attention to recovery and some great drugs, you're probably going to tap out at some point. But I think there's an opportunity there for, just as you said, that kind of whole body strength, because you are using your entire body, especially in those kind of supine or laying, snapping things you're doing. You're laying on your back and bending bars until they snap. Tremendous carryover for jiu-jitsu and really good overall strength. I love big bar bending for the same reason, like 3/4 inch thick round by 4 foot long. And you bend that across the knee and it's just a whole body workout.
I want to try one of those. And actually when I was doing some research for the episode, I saw you back in 06 bending like a 3/4 inch bar on YouTube. Long, it looked like maybe 6 feet or something like that. So I was like, I gotta try some of that. That looks like very much grappling a piece of steel.
It's great because it flexes a little bit and then you just kind of black out for a bit, you know, as you shoot anyways, I guess, and then it gives and you're like, oh, this bar is mine, I'm gonna get after this thing.
Yeah, I'll like do the,
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I like the scrolling stuff too. I haven't given that a try, but I've always been like somewhat of an artistic guy. Like my dad built a lot of sculptures. He was a welder and stuff. Okay. And the scrolling just looks cool. Like I like the idea of like blending the brute strength along with some like artistic capacity, you know?
Yeah, not a lot of guys are doing that I've seen anymore. I know Dan Senadoza and John Brookfield are two that really come to mind as being good scrollers in terms of like making art from it. And John can like bend steel with his fingertips, it seems. He's just all powerful.
Yeah. There's a few guys. So there's a Facebook group called Steel Shredder Brotherhood of the Steel or something like that, that David runs. Yeah. And I've seen some guys posting some stuff, actually a crossover grappler bender that I'm going to have on in a couple of weeks. Chris Stillwell of Michigan is doing some scrolling. That looks pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like there's some guys doing it for sure. Some international guys doing crazy stuff too that I saw. It's nuts.
I'll see these Russian guys with like 60 penny nails bent into an S,
yep,
or they'll twist them around. I've been able to get the 60 pennies twisted around each other. You like bend them in half and then cross the ends.
Yep.
Another nail through it, bend that in half and then cross those ends. That also is like, it's hard on my wrists in the best way. It's very tough.
Yeah. So you're a real, like what I'd call a Renaissance man of strength. Say,
can about you a tell few things now?
tell me and hopefully some prospective listeners all the different stuff that you've done, including bending.
Well, when I got into the gym, I was like 430 pounds, and I wanted to get strong and lose weight. That led me into powerlifting, strongman, Highland Games, Moss wrestling, and grip strength competitions over the course of the last 17 years. I think I'm up to 86 competitions over those years. And I just can't tell you again what a tremendous opportunity it's been to travel. And, you know, you don't have to be good at a travel. You can come in last wherever you want to in the world, but to maybe justify the cost of the plane ticket and the experience. It's been really rewarding to be kind of good at something. You know, powerlifting, I was always kind of mediocre, like a 550 squat, 410 bench, and 715 deadlift, which are like, it's heavy weights, but for like a drug tested guy who weighs 330, that's not,
they're
way stronger people. And strongman, I was at the height of my amateur strongman when guys like Brian Shaw and, Martins were amateurs, and so I'd get my butt kicked by guys who would go on to win World's Strongest Man. I went against Jerry Pritchett in a contest in Arizona 1,000 years ago, and I was always like, oh, why can't I progress to become a pro like my goal? And then I see what these guys have gone on to become, Arnold winners and World's Strongest Man winners, and I think, oh, I wonder if I was just like competing at the wrong time. So before you'll get back into it and see who's left, the best of who's left.
Yeah.
And Highland Games is one of those things where you can be like, oh, it's my turn, hold my beer, and you can go throw, and then you can get a sunburn, and it's great. It's like,
nice.
I wouldn't say it's the least athletic, but it's like the most coordination with the least amount of effort, continuous effort. I don't know. You throw, you rest 15 minutes, you throw, you rest 15 minutes. And then grip has always been one of those things where I come back to it during times where I'm feeling a little bit beat up from regular training.
Yeah.
Or like in the last year or two, really taking a focus on making it my number one sport and just trying to see how far I can go with it. I know I'd only have so many days under the bar. Like you only have so many days on the mat. So everyone's really important to you.
For sure. So are you doing any bending these days, or are you mostly focused on like the arm lifting, grip, et cetera?
I did a fundraiser for my trip to Russia for world armlifting worlds, when I did 125 60 penny nails in just under an hour, and people would like sponsor whatever, a quarter per nail. But I haven't done any big bending in a while. I'd say it's probably been 3 or 4 years since I really was heavy into it, but I've really enjoyed it. It's nothing better than kind of locking yourself into a bar and you're pushing with all you have, and you can like just hear a whisper of that bar beginning to go. And as tired as you are and as like hopeless as it may seem, you suddenly summon like energy from below and above and wherever you believe. And suddenly the bar begins to get a little bit warmer and bend. And then
I love that.
And it's a race. It's just a rush.
Yeah, I like that. Kind of reminds me of something I've thought a lot about with this, with bending and grip, but specifically bending, relating it to, you know, surprise jiu-jitsu, but sort of like in a world that's pretty complex and there's not a lot of right and wrong, clear, defined lines of things, right? But there's a lot of gray area in the, mm-hmm. in the world when you're a grown up, you find out, you know? So I'm attracted to things that are like, I fight the guy, I win or I lose. Like, sorry, that's the result. Like, and I got to live with it. And when I come down here to the basement and I attempt to bend, like, I either get it or I don't, and life goes on, you know? And there's something like really nice and refreshing about like something that's that binary. Like,
yeah.
I think more people are going to be attracted to it for that sense. It's just like, and maybe in a, you know, I don't have too much experience powerlifting, but it's like, it seems like people can get caught up into form and I know there's form in bending, but I just find it to be a little more like primal, where you're just like, you're just putting, like you just said, every single bit of yourself into this thing, regardless of form, if you're within the, you know, regulations, and it's either going to go or it's not. And you got to live with the result. You know, I like that.
And it just haunts you when that bar is a little wider than 2 inches apart on the inside end there. Just can't live with it.
Yep.
You're crushing till your veins pop out of your head.
Yeah.
Cause in that moment you like forego all thoughts of work or family or your own like self-preservation, and for no other reason other than I have to get this done. Like,
yep.
You want that binary checkbox. Like, I did this bar, you know?
Yeah. Meditative aspect to it or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Hard to be pissed off when, you know, you're done bending, you're sweaty and tired, and maybe your hands hurt.
Right. So what's a normal training week look like for you these days?
As you might imagine, I keep it pretty structured after talking about it. So but I live a little bit of flexibility. I have a goal that I row or do cardio 3 days a week, lift 3 days a week, and do grip 4 days a week. I also try to keep it to less than three nights a week of boozing and no more than one pizza a week. These are like my guidelines for life, Clay's tips for a happy life. And the last two are rules, because if I don't regulate those, then it's like a six pack a night and it's like three pizzas a week. And I weigh 400 pounds again, you know, doesn't tie into my goals. And then what'll happen is I'll get my blood test results every 6 weeks and I'll be like, holy shit, my liver is dying. Or, you know, like I'm suddenly really high on triglycerides. What am I doing wrong with my lifestyle? So that I found those things I can get some grace in, but the training is definitely, and I just go by, you know, I have like a squat, a press, and a pull day, and then just variations of those. I do a lot of Hatfield squats or safety squat bar squats. I love good morning, anything to build a strong hinge. I always thought that like a strong grip and a strong back will keep you safe through most situations you'll find yourself in.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like street fights, I'm going to get my ass kicked, but like in picking up things heavily and awkward, I'll be fine.
Yeah, for sure. do you recommend any specific lifts or exercises for bending strength, or is it pretty much just more bending? Because I've heard a mix from guys.
Yeah. For me, I found that I had some weak shoulders that were impacting my ability to finish a bar off. I can get a bar to like 90 degrees or so, but then really struggled in that mid range to carry it through. So I did a lot of like heavy chest flies, and I would pre-kink a bunch of bars. Like at the time when I was bending red nails, I would pre-kink a bunch of 5/16 cold stock with like a pipe and a vise. So I'd have like 50 of these bars ready to go. And the workout was just crush them down the rest of the way and build that strength up and build that like tolerance to that shearing force on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I never found like wrist strength would be an issue. Although I wouldn't say I have very strong wrists. And if I've been training my crush and my other stuff, being able to hold onto the wraps is never really an issue. So it was mostly that crushing power. And you know, if I find I can, I feel like I'm pretty strong off the top here with this double overhand position. And so as soon as it begins to bend and I can feel the bars kind of locked into this plane where it's not going to slide around, I can hit it really fast to get it hot. And then maybe I have a better chance of crushing it down at the end because it's still so hot and so pliable.
What about any shoulder mobility? Did you work on that, or did you have decently flex, or did was that not a factor?
Usually been trash, and bending was not helping that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of like the same stuff you do in PT, like the shoulder rotations here and out this way. Make sure that my lats are always kind of activated and working through some exercise, because that helps me pull my shoulders back. Making sure that I take massage maybe once a month. Something can help stretch my neck and my traps out, or using the newbie in this case to kind of relax those muscles and get me to move through a bigger range of motion than I could have before. So and that if you don't have range of motion, you don't have access to all that muscles. If you stop here, you have no power. You have to be able to really pull back. So yep. Accessing that range of motion is, I mean, it's so clutch.
Yeah, I'm finding, I think I suffer from a little bit of that, even though I wouldn't call myself an unflexible guy. Like I can, you know, invert in jujitsu and all this stuff and do upside down guard and all this kind of bending stuff. But my posture from playing butterfly guard and
stuff like
that. You've
been doing this for years.
It's very crunched. You're
like, this is your learned use pattern.
Yep. For years, crunch, right? And it's like, so to get the shoulders back and everything like that, I'm having to find some, I got to work some mobility to get to activate the strength to get a good double overhand.
Yeah. Well, in terms of like range of motion, if you think about when we're like, the brain is meant to protect you from injury and death. And so when muscles are tight, muscles aren't actually tight. You're just getting a signal from your brain to your muscle that says, if you move much further than this, it's going to tear and injure us further. Or we've already experienced injury in this area, and so we're going to lock down the muscles around it so you can't further hurt it. So we'll have to kind of reset that signal through the easiest ways to get someone to do muscle activation therapy on you, to send a new input into that muscle that it's okay and it's going to have good function. You can increase range of motion by having someone do the MAT on you really easily without ever actually stretching you, and then using something like the direct current device that we use at work to kind of further reset that tone, it just down regulates that threat in your brain to where now you have that full range of motion. So I think of it less as like, well, think of it this way. When you're static stretching, it feels like ass for a while. It's hot and painful, and there's like pain. That pain is an output signal your brain's sending that says, if you go anymore, it's going to tear, so I'm not going to allow you to use this shoulder much more. After about 30 seconds, there's the Golgi tendon organ that attaches the muscle to the bone, sends a signal that says, okay, things are fine, we can go a little bit more. And then you're able to stretch a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper until you're able to get that full kind of natural tone reset in the muscle. So using something like manual muscle activations or direct current stimulation will help reset that tone faster and more permanently than just a static stretch. After you stretch and you do your activity, it may close back off again, and you really have to work at it. This is why guys are like foam rolling for an hour and having the same problems for years. Then it's not helping. You got to have somebody else push it on you, or you know, using the direct current stimulation to fix it.
Crazy. Wow, that's interesting. You kind of touched on some tears. What were some injuries you experienced from bending? Anything?
Oh boy. Well, from bending specifically, lots of torn palms because sometimes you don't know when to quit.
Yeah.
That blister won't tear. That looks good for one more.
Yeah.
I have gotten, I tore something over my clavicle years ago. I was doing like farmer's walk and then nail bending in the same workout. Thinking I was so clever for combining all these strongman things.
Yeah.
Maybe it was working, but I think the volume or intensity was too high that day. And then just occasional elbow pain.
Yeah.
But, you know, just as soon as I would, I think treating recovery with the same intensity as training will get you a lot further in your sport.
Sure.
Especially as you get into your 30s and beyond. So it's like, I got an ache and a pain. I mean, for me, the signal of pain in my body is, ooh, something to work on. I'm going to reset the signal somehow with either a stimulation or a massage, or, you know, I'm not just going to slap Tiger Balm on it and hope I don't sleep on that arm anymore, because I'm going to sleep in that arm. I got to actually fix the problem.
I got some knuckle pain going on right now, like my index finger knuckle on my dominant hand, I think from just like squeezing so damn hard. I just got to figure out the recovery.
The easiest one you can do for recovery for fingers, wrists, and elbows is you practice your finger waves. Get in the camera here. So kind of your waves back and forth here.
Okay.
This is going to look weird for somebody without context. and then switching it back and forth, excreting until you get this like massive blood pump in the back of your forearms and your extensors.
Oh, nice.
That will flush out a lot of the trash that's causing pain. Blood flow brings nutrients and rebuilding amino acids to any sore or achy or inflamed joints. So you're just speeding that along by getting some blood flow through there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you. The guy I had on yesterday was recommending fill up to two sides of your sink, one with super hot water, one with ice water, and alternate the two just to get some blood flow going there.
Yeah. Also good.
All right. So what about goals? Are you working on any particular goals right now?
No longer be one of the best, to be the best.
Yeah, nice.
To no longer be one of. To take out those two little words with five letters, one of, and throw those away, and be the one everybody else chases. No,
right,
I'm not that obnoxious in real life. I would love to consistently hit, I've hit a 200K axle. I'd love to hit 210. I feel like that's the next milestone. My Rolling Thunder has always kind of been average. I'd love to hit 110, 120 pretty consistently to be more, to be as good as the guys who are the best at it. It would be a nice goal. And then to take Tanner Merkel's Silver Bullet record back. He beat mine. He crushed mine. Mine was 19 point something seconds. He did 30 seconds. It's like, that's like an 8 second 100 meter dash. We're going to have to run real fast to make that happen.
Wow.
So but these are, every week chipping away at those a little bit better, managing pain a little better. And it's just the older I get, the more I realize that it's a marathon, not a sprint, and then able to kind of track things and progress from there.
Yeah. And for as far as stuff that you've already accomplished, like you got a friggin' bolt named after you.
Which I want to say, I didn't do that. Yeah, I came back to like an interest in bending after years off, and I was like, oh, an edging bolt. That's my name.
Yeah. The guy I had on yesterday mentioned the edging bolt and cutting it down. I was like, I'm going to have him on tomorrow. It was cool.
Some people don't know that it was named after a guy named Clay Edging, and that's okay. I didn't ask for this, but I'm happy, ecstatic to be, named by something like that.
Yeah.
So as far as like other, other feats and things like that, I love bending anything, horseshoes, big bars, ripping license plates, done tons of feats of strength demonstrations. I can't pinpoint one thing. I can pinpoint lots of really difficult workouts with bending, like the first grade 5/5/16 bolt that I bent, how that took two hard sessions, and I've never felt more excited about a workout than when I put a kink in that bolt that nobody had done before, and then it was another 2 years before somebody bent one or something like that. Nice. That was extremely satisfying to feel like, again, that was no longer one of the best for a little while, as was maybe arguably the best.
Yeah. To your knowledge, has anyone done any more? You did 125 60 penny in an hour. Has anyone attempted that since? Or?
I don't believe so. I don't know what would be a good mark on that. I don't feel like I could have gone any faster short of having the nails pre-wrapped. So I wrapped them all individually as I went. It's got to be up there with some of the fastest. Very, very sore after that, as you can imagine.
Did you just have two sets of wraps going and you'd insert the nail into basically the already wrapped wrap, or
the spike end, the pointy end of the nail, the bad end, that end of leather was already wrapped up with a rubber band.
Uh-huh.
And I would, just put the long wrap. I had one set of wraps. So I'd wrap the head of the nail each time and then just slide on the leather sleeve of the wrapped end. And then unroll it again. And I think the wrapping took the longest part.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
It was a nice rest period because I started really getting tired about 40 minutes in.
I bet.
The pile was getting smaller. So you're like, well, I'm this close. I've got to finish. I've got to check that off, that binary box.
Yep.
For no reason.
What about mental aspects of bending? You feel like obviously you're pushing through some pain tolerance and stuff, but anything you want to touch on with that, maybe for the beginners out there?
Since the beginning, when I learned about strength sports through strongman at like age 15, I always told myself, I'll always have this mantra, is I walk the same earth on two legs that all these other heroes have, these other like legends have. I have the same like structure, the hardware and software in my body that they do. And there's no reason short of my busting my ass that I can't be the best or one of the best. And anything short of that is my fault. I've blessed to be a large guy with a mostly functioning body, and there's no reason why I shouldn't be pushing it to its absolute limit for the sake of like seeing what it can do. How fast can your car go? You get some new shoes, people are like, how fast do your new shoes go? Yeah. Bike though, you ever take that bike off some jumps? Yeah, I have. It was great. You have to like live it. And if you aren't, if you aren't going to approach it to push it, then let me through, because I'm going to do it.
That's awesome. I can relate to that a lot. That's cool. All right. So we reached pretty much towards the end of the show. So I created something called the Medley, which is a rapid fire series of questions. Okay. You ready for it?
Let's do it.
All right. So number one, favorite thing to bend?
Horseshoes.
Okay. Two, hardest thing to bend for you?
Probably that edge and bolt the first time. Took about a week.
Strongest bending style for you?
Probably overhand, but I've done a lot of work in that mixed grip lately, and that's helped a lot.
And you're talking like reverse?
Reverse style? Grip, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Weakest bending, did I just say weakest bending style?
You said strongest or favorites.
Okay, so weakest style.
Probably the underhand, because my pinkies are wimpy and don't want to. It hurts, man.
Yeah.
I'll just say it hurts.
Yeah, definitely. Something outside training, bending, or strength sports in general that you enjoy to do?
Oh, God. I have, like, the best front lawn on my block, and I'll say that out loud to everybody who can hear it.
All right.
You can hear my front lawn. The backyard's a mess, but everybody can see the front yard.
Nice. Yeah.
That and I got too many hobbies to count. But
yeah, I feel you. I always just keep mine looking better than my neighbors. And, like, as long as, like, I'm not the worst on the block. I feel like I'm good to glow, you know? Right. what's the one bend that got away? Did you ever attempt to bend something that you just couldn't do it? And to this day, you still haven't got it?
Tons of stuff. Like when I got into tempered steel drill rod, that was harder than the 5/16. That stumped me and it really frustrated me. I just didn't see how like a piece of steel that I've held before could not bend. I didn't understand it. It's not that I wanted it any harder and I gave my entire life force for it. I just didn't understand how it didn't bend, and it still bothers me.
Yeah. I had a little bit of experience with that going from the 5/16 round that I got from Lowe's, thinking that cut to 7 was similar to a red nail. And then that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Hot roll to cold roll. It was a mean jump.
That's a big jump. Yep. Who's the strongest person you know? It doesn't have to be in grip or bending or anything. It could be your grandpa for all that matters.
Man, I've always loved Mark Henry because he was a 900-pound squatter, Olympic weightlifter. He won the Arnold Strongman. He's clean and pressed, the inch dumbbell. To me, there's nobody. He's somebody who I chase and idolize as far as like the best all-around strength athlete. And he used to live here in Austin, and I moved moving. Which is kind of a bummer, but he's around.
Yeah. Have you had any experience with the inch dumbbell?
Yeah, I have one. I've held it for about 17 seconds, I think is my best in the right hand, and 13 or 14 with the left. When I bought it, I tried picking it up. Everyone does right away, thinking they're going to do dumbbell rows with it or something stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't lift it for like a year. And so we could do a whole other 30-minute like how to train with the inch dumbbell conversation, but I pretty consistent with it now, and it just sits next to my blobs in the garage.
Yeah, I'm interested in getting one. They seem not too many are in production right now. I saw that Fat Bastard has like a training basically a training bar that you put like standard weights on, so that I was interested in maybe giving a try. But I'd like to give
get the
just
real
I
thing.
Just want to feel it, you know what
don't
I mean
make your own don't make your own, don't buy trainers, just get the real thing and hunt for it, save for it, and you'll really enjoy and appreciate the experience, because you're going to buy the training dumbbell and work up to 175 and be like, oh, I can do it, and then you'll be a mile away, because the dumbbell acts very differently than a plate loadable. Even if all the plates are locked on there tight, it's very different.
Oh wow, interesting. All right, here's a funny one. Funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you bend nails in your spare time?
One guy was turned on.
No.
Yes. One guy was like, oh, you could bend me anytime. And I was like, it isn't like that, bro. I appreciate that I have some options out in the world, but if we're talking about binary, I'm the other one.
Yeah. That's a good one. And you listen to music while you're training?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of like Fearless Flyers or Wolfpack or Lake Street Dive, okay. Like some like blues, R&B, funk. Nice. Not as much like Lamb of God anymore. It's just,
yeah.
I think I'm getting older and I like to mellow out during training.
Yeah, that's funny. A good friend of mine who's a power lifter listens to similar like R&B and stuff like that. And I'm always laughing when he sends me his videos of his PRs because it's like this soulful music in the background. And man,
nothing gets you doing dumber shit more than love for somebody. That music inspires that.
I'm still down here.
Stronger than love. It's not hate. It's not anger. Yep.
I'm listening to the mosh. I got heavy chugs going when I'm trying to lift some heavy for now. Maybe I'll graduate into some sweet sounds eventually. But all right, that concludes the medley. Congratulations, you made it through.
Thank you.
All right. So in closing, who's someone you'd like to see on the show?
Oh man, you got to hit up Jed Johnson if you haven't already.
Tanner Merkel,
he's booked. Adam Glass. Adam is a wacko. I'll say it to his face. He's great.
Awesome.
And Ricardo Magni out there in L.A.
Okay. Ricardo, what was the second name you said? Tanner or something?
Tanner Merkel.
Okay.
Merkle.
Okay. Nice.
Those are all – there's so many.
Yeah.
And if you want to get overseas, hit up Arto Jironen and – Harry Tolonen, Harry H-A-R-R-I Tolonen.
All right.
Arto's English is trash, but Harry's pretty good.
Okay. Cool. All right. Tips or advice for beginner benders?
Oh man, start small, build volume, be patient, take care of your recovery, and don't think that blister is going to hold for another rep because it's going to blow on you for sure.
Nice. And where can people find you? Social media stuff.
I'm at Swolebiz, S-W-O-L-E-B, L-E-B-I-Z. How do I spell it? Yeah.
You got it.
That's it.
Right on.
Find me anywhere there.
Any events, brands, or gear, or gyms you want to shout out?
I mean, I talked about the one that's been helping me the most, that New Fit Newbie. I know not everyone has the means or the access to a machine like that, but it's really helped me out a lot. So if you go onto the New Fit website and find a doctor near you that has one, I think you really like the results you get from it, and it's going to reduce pain, inflammation, and get you stronger faster. So I just can't say enough good things about it. Other than that, I mean, I'm just a guy working from home, you know, making movies and pictures and stuff like that all day. No
nice. Big
sponsorships to speak of.
Yeah, nice. So thank you so much for being on. What I'm thinking is I'll probably run a season 2 and hopefully have on a bunch of the guys I had on first, but in conjunction with some other guys. So
yeah.
if you'd be down, maybe I'll have you back on in the future with
somebody
else.
That's great. Let's get everybody on the screen at the same time. We can talk a lot of shit real fast.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe do like a topical episode or something and just get a few guys in here and just talk some shit.
Sounds good, man.
Cool, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cody.
Have a good rest of the day.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.